The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is
It's May 20th.
It's Friday, May 20th. You're watching on YouTube. If you're listening to the show on Spotify, Apple Pods, however you get your podcast, it is actually Monday, May 23rd. Wherever you are, however you're listening, we appreciate you checking the podcast out. You heard his voice. Ryan Wilson and John Breach joining me. What's up, fellas?
So here's what I found out in the last 5 minutes. I thought I knew everything about both you buttholes. Clearly I don't.
If you're gonna pick one person out of this podcast who would not be packed at all 3 hours before their flight was taking off from an international airport, who would it be? Because I think the obvious answer is...
I think I would have voted Brinson. Yeah, if you would have given me all the facts beforehand.
That's the answer, Breach.
Wilson
is packed. And yet...
Wilson would be packed a week in advance for any trip.
Correct.
Wilson would not be on... Wilson would be like, I can't podcast it.
I have to podcast from the airport.
Yeah. And yet, the whole situation has been, as Robbie likes to say, uno reversed. Because Breach is the one who is... Okay, let's walk through this. Nada producing and Wilson who has used. Okay. Wilson and Nada are apoplectic that Breach has not packed yet. I'm like, whatever, you know, I'm not, wouldn't really worry about it. If you don't have to check a bag, you don't have to go that early to the airport. In my,
you got to pack the bag before you get there though.
Well, remember Brinson is the guy who broke like 7 traffic laws to get to the airport while I was in the car.
That's what we all expect from him. But you like, so your flight is at 4:30 Central Time. It is 12:50 Central Time as we're doing this podcast. How long does it take you to the airport?
You don't live in Nashville.
25 what? Minutes.
Oh. 25 minutes. Okay.
So we're at 3.5 hours minus 25 minutes.
You don't do TSA.
Minus 25 minutes. How are you getting to the airport?
I'm driving myself. So I have to find a parking spot and walk to the airport.
Okay, that's 35 minutes. Maybe 40 minutes.
Nashville, right. It's not an Uber drop-off situation, which would be theoretically easier.
And I believe you live in what city?
Nashville.
But what suburb of Nashville?
In Nashville. I used to live in Laverne, but I moved. I live like 5 miles outside downtown now.
Which direction outside of downtown?
West. Further away.
So the opposite side of the airport.
Opposite. Yes. The airport's southeast, I believe.
A plot twist.
So,
right, so we're going to say you need a full hour to get from your house.
I'll be able to walk out the door.
To walking in the airport, right?
Probably.
Okay.
And that's before he worth noting, he's not TSA pre-check either. So he may have to deal with.
Well,
he's,
and you know, the funny
way too many like high alert lists.
When I planned this out in my head, so Brinson had a plan. Let's record two podcasts at the same time because he had to do something also. So I literally was dependent on Brinson following through on his part so that I could keep my timeline. And now things are getting dicey.
But you said that you still have to go to the store and buy toothpaste or whatever. Like, why did you go to the store yesterday?
Well, I can just go to the store and I don't have to go back to my house. Just go
All right, hold on. You need to go to the store. What are you going to the store for?
I'm going to get some travel contact solution. That's really the thing I need the most. I guess I could just buy that there. I don't need to buy it beforehand. So I don't need to go to the store. Boom. Store.
All right. Done. So we've eliminated 30 minutes.
Store takes like 10 minutes.
Well, I mean, obviously you just go in the way. So really it's more.
Well, it takes 10 minutes if it's on the lower shelf. If it's on the upper shelf, you get help. That's another 15 minutes.
All right. At any rate, I think it is safe to say that to feel comfortable about getting to your flight on time, that you need to leave 2 hours before your flight takes off.
So let me just say real quick, and I know Wilson's different, and I would actually love to know your guys', everybody's answer on that. I am fine. As long as it's not an international flight, if it's a domestic flight, I'm fine getting the airport an hour beforehand, an hour and 15 minutes beforehand. I'm comfortable with that. I don't care.
An hour.
Do I plan it a little bit?
30 minutes before the flight takes off. I'm not checking it back.
No. Where in the airport do you want to be by the time that you're going to come up with?
If I am walking through the gate, no, not the gate, through the doors to walk in the airport an hour beforehand, I'm fine. So I'm not even through security yet.
I'll leave my house an hour before my flight.
Time are you walking through the front door of RDU?
I mean, like 20 minutes later.
So you have 40 minutes and no one's checking bags.
Right? Yeah, this is a no check bag situation.
Yeah, no.
If you're checking a bag, they changed the rules since COVID. You have to check your bag 45 minutes before your flight.
I would check the hard way. Bag. I would literally ditch you guys on this podcast right now and start driving to the airport.
I go 2 hours. I'm there 2 hours before. Like Syracuse Airport.
Yeah.
Literally has 14 people.
I'm not speaking out of school here. You're super anal retentive.
I take that as a compliment. That's correct.
Yeah.
Not a what's your travel plans? Not just left for the airport already.
No. My travel plans, like, there's a couple of things. First things first, there's no way that I'm buying, like, toothpaste now.
Right.
What are you going to brush your teeth on the plane? Like,
Get there and you don't have time? Like, because my flight lands at 9 o'clock at night, and I don't want to be forced in a situation where I have to go find a store at 9 o'clock at night.
Are you staying in a tent? Because you're staying in a hotel.
Airbnb. Wait. You just said you don't want to be forced to like find toothpaste in Miami at 9 o'clock at night. It's like there's bodegas everywhere. What are you talking about?
What if there's not? I'm not running a car.
You just pop into Walgreens.
Maybe one of my buddies brings. I have toothpaste and contact solution are two things I don't like traveling without. So I get a little antsy if I don't have those things beforehand.
Contact solution, I can kind of understand.
Sorry, ahead of time. Yeah, go ahead, Nana.
I understand the contact solution part of this whole thing. The thing that I like, Breach, I get it where you don't want to buy toothpaste, but it's toothpaste. You can ask to borrow some toothpaste from a buddy. It's not that hard.
Yeah, my buddies will charge me. That's the kind of buddies they are.
Leaving two, like if you're like in, like using your allotted time, like to get to the airport instead of like, you know, going to the airport to go buy toothpaste, you can buy toothpaste in the airport.
I mean, yeah, it's like marked up 700%. Have you ever been to an airport?
It's probably
they will charge you $18 for a 2 ounce toothpaste.
Hey,
that's not true. You're also, obviously going to buy the wrong size toothpaste anyway, and you have to throw it away at TSA.
Also, no, you just buy it once you get through the gate. But
that's what I was saying.
He's going to spend $5 in gas to go to the CVS where you can buy the $4 worth of toothpaste at the airport, or you know, buy it yesterday.
Also, I mean, it's totally plausible to imagine a situation where Breach, has to go pay for the premium parking because he's running late because he went to get toothpaste, and so he ends up having to spend like an extra $60 on premium parking instead of regular parking because he had to get the $5 the cheap toothpaste.
That's a Brent.
And by the way, I'm flying to Miami, so if anyone sees me wearing a Pick Six, probably not this hoodie because it's a little too hot down there. I'll wear it everywhere.
So how many days are you going for?
Friday through Monday.
What are you packing?
Thursday through Sunday.
What are you packing in your backpack clothes-wise? Like, how many clothes are you bringing and what are you bringing?
Nothing. It's Miami. So, got like three pairs of shorts, a couple dress shirts, some workout clothes.
You don't wear underwear?
Workout clothes?
What are you talking socks about? And underwear. I mean, that's a given.
Okay.
You're taking workout clothes?
Athletic shorts and an athletic shirt in case I want to take a run one morning.
Yeah. I'm sure you're going to really go
see on the beach.
He's going to run to CVS to get the toothpaste. I mean, this guy is serious about toothpaste.
When you go down with a bunch of dudes on a 40th birthday week, and you're like, maybe I'll just go run in Miami on like Friday morning. Shut up.
The same guy that slept through me having to do the top 48 thing.
Maybe I'll just drink 60 gallons of Captain Morgan to go run the next day. No big deal. Whatever. I'll do what I want. Like that, you're just lying to yourself, Breach. It's time to be honest. Time to fess up to yourself.
Well, I haven't packed yet, so I can unpack. My athletic clothes are out. Boom. You guys just helped me. You made up more room in my suitcase. There now. You go. I can fit something else.
All right. Let's get to the mailbag.
That we now only have 10 minutes.
Tight 9-minute breakdown of Breach's travel. By the way, we'll find out on Tuesday if Breach actually made his flight. What are the odds, Wilson?
He's going to text us a picture in about 3 hours of him missing his flight and him having to wait all night at the airport.
There's a later flight at 9 o'clock, so if I do miss my flight, I can switch to that.
That's an idiot move to even think about the later flight.
I'm already planning for it.
Got time to get the toothpaste.
All right, I'll miss from our pal Dominic Petrillo. Great podcast on the Brady Quinn episodes as well.
Hey. Me and Breach said this last week. You're reading the 513. Go to the email.
My goodness.
Dumb.
I know. I was like, I thought you guys asked me that question.
Brinson skipped last week's mailbag. For those of you who don't remember,
I definitely have an email with the mailbag.
You look for it.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, read it. Go ahead.
From Argentina. Go ahead, Breach.
Hey, Breach. It's time to get to the
mailbag. Now you can go ahead and read it, Wilson. It's soccer stuff. You're more.
It is Mariano Domingo from Argentina. Argentina is how they say it correctly. Breach. Hey, what's up? Mariano here, a huge listener from Argentina and a Boca Juniors fan. Dang. Remember from Soccer Super Classico? Just for you to know, Boca fans consider ourselves half plus one of the country, and we are recognized in soccer all around the world. Won 6 times in the Copa Libertadores, the South American Champions League, and beat Real Madrid and Milan in the FIFA World Cup. Club World Cup, excuse me. As a Vikings fan, I want to know your overall opinion about the team and what we got in the draft with what I'm not convinced in terms of value in the trade we did with the division rivals. Keep up the great work and send some merch. He says, kidding in parentheses, perhaps because we have to, they overcharge us for merch. They don't give us any sort of discounts.
Yeah.
So Boca Juniors fan, also a Vikings fan. So I'm guessing Mariano listened to the last podcast or the podcast earlier this week where I was not high on Kirk Cousins and these two folks were, but
we got some.
Let me see what the over. Oh, the Vikings over under according to Caesars is 9.
Over.
Yeah, I'll take the over.
Let's see. I took the under. I said 8-9. B-Mac and Brady both said 11-6. So
ooh, they like the over.
The Packers is 11. Bears is 6.5. Line 6. In case you're wondering. And again, my biggest hangup is Kirby. That's just being, I'm just keeping it real. And that's probably more to do with me than anything. But you guys think that Kirk Cousins can get this team to 11, or is that too much?
I don't think that's out of control. By the way, I thought it was interesting. Eric Kendricks said he's happy with the new Vikings direction after a, quote, fear-based, end quote, approach under Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, it was unclear that Zimmer was a great fit. In terms of the draft picks, I got Lewis Cine and Andrew Booth Jr. I thought both those guys were sort of first-round talents. Andrew Booth Jr. fell to round 2 because I think he had a hernia, and he had a quad injury. He didn't work out during the pre-draft process. I got Brian Asamoah, which is Petey Prisco's guy out of Oklahoma, all defensive guys. They didn't need a ton of offensive guys. Ed Ingram, they got the interior offensive lineman at LSU, so he helps there. I mean, the weakest link on that offensive line might be Brinson's dude. That's just keeping it real. Yeah.
rookie, former Brinson pick for rookie of the year, Garrett Bradbury.
That guy. But hopefully he has a bounce back year. And I mean, on paper, they look real. They look like a really good football team. Adam Thielen's 32 or whatever, but that doesn't mean he can't have a good year. I'm just concerned about Kirk Cousins. I'm just keeping it real.
That is the concern, but you just look at they built such a solid roster around him. They're saying if we can just get average play from Kirk Cousins, we should be able to win double-digit games.
I don't think Kirk Cousins. I think the defense is a way bigger concern than Kirk Cousins.
I don't think they just signed Za'Darius Smith. They've got Dalvin Tomlinson. I mean, Jordan Hicks, Eric Kendricks. I feel like they've got a pretty solid defense. If the back end's the worry, you have to. And if
Danielle Hunter
secondary growing up.
Danielle Hunter was hurt for much of last year, so he's back too.
Right. Pat P. Obviously, but I mean, if you're going to have two rookie starters,
Kirk Cousins has played 4 seasons in Minnesota.
Oh, we already did this on the last podcast.
I mean, no, we didn't. He's completed 68.3% of his passes. He's averaged over 4,000 passing yards per season. 31.
Yeah, we did it when we compared Cousins to Derek Carr.
No, but we did Cousins, all Cousins seasons, not his Minnesota seasons. He only had one. I mean, I don't think Kirk Cousins is the problem. Just me.
Okay. Well, that's why you guys like over. That's great news.
The reason I like the over and I like the Vikings as a playoff team is that the NFC is just watered down compared to the AFC.
Well, that makes Mariano very happy. Thank you for the question, Mariano.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Okay. I think that I may be in possession of.
You found the rundown?
Let's see.
What a big day.
I still don't have it, I don't think. I don't get emails from my. Sorry, read the next one, Wilson. I don't get Viacom CBS
email. Oh, this one's also a soccer email, so Wilson can read this too.
Great. Great Britain email. Gosh, this is the international podcast from F. Cunningham. Hi guys, love the pod, especially the random intros. Well, I mean, there's no better place to come than here for that. Will claimed to know about quote unquote soccer. It's actually called football last week.
Buddy,
Footy. So here's my test for all of you. Which teams play in these English derbies? Oh, I'm going to crush this. All right. Pay attention, Brinson. What did I just ask you? You weren't even paying attention.
Which teams play in English derbies?
Yeah, okay. Derbies? The Manchester Derby.
I mean, that one I know, or I could guess. That
all right, go ahead, obvious. Guess.
Wait. We're supposed to tell you who
Manchester
plays.
Manchester United, probably.
Yeah, so F. Cunningham says he's calling Brinson out because Brinson claims to be a soccer fan, so he's giving you a little test. Who plays in these English derbies? The Manchester Derby.
Yeah, Manchester United, probably. That was...
Okay,
Yeah, Man City, yeah. That's the other one.
Okay. The Merseyside Derby.
I don't know.
Is it not Derby? There,
it's spelled Derby. It's pronounced Derby when you say it.
Something every day.
Yeah, there you go.
I cannot name a single team in that one.
The Merseyside Derby, I think, is Liverpool and Everton. I could be wrong. Look that up real quick, Brinson. Merseyside Derby.
Got it.
Is it Everton and Liverpool?
It is.
That is the Merseyside Derby.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're 2 for 2, except me and Brinson are 1 for 2.
I don't think it counts if Wilson guesses. And he didn't really guess.
Well, the South Coast Derby, I do not know. I'm going to guess like Bournemouth and Southampton. Look up
okay,
the South.
Okay, so when we see, I always like the things that always confuse, because there's like the English Cup, the English FA Cup or whatever.
The FA Cup. There's the
Carabao. Wait, who'd you
Cup.
Guess, Wilson?
Southampton and Bournemouth. I just guessed.
It is Southampton and Portsmouth.
Dang it. Yeah, I never got. I know Southampton's down there.
That's a half point.
These basically just like rivalry games, right?
Same city rivalry games. That's what the Derby means.
Yeah.
It's like the Jets and the Giants. No one cares about that rivalry, but that's what it would be. The North London Derby. I think
there's a couple teams in London.
Yeah, there are four teams in London. So there's Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, and Crystal Palace are the four teams in London. So what's the
I feel
North-
like it's not Crystal Palace because it's got to be two of the other three.
What is it?
I don't know. Arsenal and Chelsea.
I think it's Chelsea and Tottenham. Look up the North London Derby breach.
Brinson, we have a guess?
I will say that it is.
He's looking it up, so he's going to have to guess.
Tottenham and Arsenal.
Is it Tottenham and Arsenal?
We both got one.
Oh, you got it. You're right. Breach, it is Arsenal.
No, I said Arsenal and Chelsea. And you said Chelsea and Tottenham, so we both.
And
got
I
one.
Said Tottenham and Arsenal, so I got both of them.
Arsenal. I know you did. The reason I was confused is because I thought it wasn't Arsenal because of our buddy Sean, who's an Arsenal fan. I didn't think they were playing it.
That wasn't
they
bad.
They just played in that derby couple days ago.
I understand. Like I don't. Does this technically like challenge our? I mean, I feel like this is.
No, I think we qualify as soccer experts now. I think we can turn this into a soccer podcast once a month.
Yeah,
we nailed that. We got most of it, not all of it.
Those last two, the South Coast was tough. The North London one, we flubbed. The other ones we knew.
I don't like claim to be like I'm getting there on soccer. I don't claim to be like.
Breach, you hear that? He just said, I don't claim to. I'm getting there on soccer.
I don't know who plays for who, like off the top of my head.
You can name one player in Chelsea.
Pulisic.
There you go. Can you name one manager in English football?
Oh God, who's the? I mean, I know the Chelsea guy. I know what he looks like, and like everybody's mad because he just can't. Oh no, wait. Do people like? Frank Lampard. Is he gone now?
He's back. I think he's at Everton now. That's hysterical. Okay, Frank Lampard. He got.
I got one. What you asked for a Premier League name. I got one.
I think he's at Everton. Is he at Everton now? I think he is. That's hysterical.
How's that?
Yeah, he's at Everton because he hasn't been there very long. He was at Chelsea for a hot minute, and then
people hated him, right?
No, not really. He just started strong, and then he lost, and the managers get fired all the time anyway. All right, so that was pretty good. That was a good question, F. Cunningham. I enjoyed that. I apologize for the whiffing on North London one. South Coast was a tough one.
I wouldn't say that you nailed the derbies either, like as a soccer expert. What do we think about? There's some Premier League games on today. This is Friday as we're recording this. I tell you what, let's take a break. And when we come back, I'll ask Wilson who to bet on in soccer.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, so the Premier League games that are on, and not a notes in our chat that you guys can't see, that speaking of which, Everton might get relegated. Mm-hmm. Everton playing Crystal Palace. Everton is minus 120. Crystal Palace plus 350. Draw plus 240. Wilson, what do you think?
Well, this is on Thursday. These are Thursday's games. So these games
are Thursday's games. So that's right. People listening, you know, we probably shouldn't do this because people listening to this Monday are going to be like, what are you doing? Fast forward. All right. We'll just do something else and I'll figure out how to bet on myself.
In fact, on by Sunday, by the time people listen to this on Monday, we'll know whether.
Oh, who wins the. That's right. Because Liverpool.
And?
Is it City or United?
City. United is terrible.
So City, City is one game ahead of Liverpool.
1 point.
One point, on the table. And so I believe City is playing Wolverhampton on Sunday.
City plays Aston Villa.
Oh.
And then
Pool plays
they play the Wolves. They play
That's what it is. So Pool has to basically win by like
Pool needs City to lose
or to beat Wolverhampton, the Wolves, by like 9 goals, like 9-0, because I think there's 7 back in the goal differential against City.
Well, right? if Man City wins, it's over because they're already up a point, so the goal differential won't matter at that
point. Oh, right, gotcha. Yeah. Oh no, even a draw against Villa would allow Liverpool to.
Man City needs to lose. Liverpool needs to draw for there to be a tie.
But if Pool wins and City draws,
no one calls them Pool.
I call them Pool.
If Liverpool wins and Man City draws, it's over. Pool wins, according to you. Yeah, so we'll all know that by the time folks are listening to this.
Very exciting stuff. To the mailbag.
You have it yet, or you need?
I got it.
All right.
Love the show.
Hustle Russell 28.
Hustle Russell 28 via Apple Podcasts. By the way, if you want to leave us a review, 5-star Apple Podcast review for any future mailbag questions, feel free to. You can test our soccer knowledge. You can ask Breach what temperature is best for storing cold human remains.
Yeah.
Or any other interesting matters. This is from Barrett Roberson, Hustle Russell 28. Name is Barrett Roberson. I don't know if it still says Hustle Russell or not. I've been watching since the 49ers Chiefs Super Bowl and left a review last offseason about Dak's Super Bowl chances, MVP, and comeback player of the year odds. I have two questions I would love to hear from y'all. One, my dream job is to become a play-by-play football commentator and was wondering what majors would be best. I will hopefully attend Abilene Christian in a few years in high school now, and I'm planning on doing journalism. I love the NFL to a nerdy level and have considered making a YouTube show to get used to talking to a camera, sharing my mock drafts, power rankings, Weddle skills, aka nice. The NFL version of Wordle, etc.
The game's impossible.
Yeah, I don't do that. I do Quartal. Quartal is tough too. You do Quartal?
No.
Nine guesses to get 4 words.
That's nice. What are we doing?
Got it yesterday. No big deal. Would love some advice
before to help
get into the field of commentary. And then two, should we answer this one and then go to the second one or just read the whole
thing? Yeah, answer it. And then we'll go to the second one.
So
Breach is actually the only one that actually majored in journalism.
I was an English major. Yeah, I took some journalism.
That's not journalism. So no, clearly. But I think Breach's designs out of school were doing what he does now in some form or fashion. This is the only sort of job you ever had, right? Breach never had a quote unquote real job.
Breach works in the newspapers.
Yeah, works in the newspaper. Wilson, get out of here.
That's my point. I said you made
it. Oh, that doesn't count. That's not real.
No, Jesus,
Breach. You didn't work in insurance. You didn't, like, you know, sell popcorn at the ball game at the movie theater. So my point is that once you got out of college, all you've been doing is getting paid by news organizations.
Yes, that sounds about right.
Golly.
Truly.
So marvelous. How did you get to that point? Like, when did you decide you're going to do it?
You know, this is a good start. This guy's in high school. And I think one big thing is just getting as soon as you get to college, right, you want to fully embrace everything from a journalism standpoint that your school offers. Whether that's calling games, whether that's joining the school newspaper,
did you call any games in high school and in college?
I did not call any games. So I wasn't trying to be a play-by-play announcer.
You wanted to be a reporter.
And I think that, you know, when you get to school, the first thing you're going to think of is, oh, I want to be the football announcer. Well, that position might be taken, especially at Abilene Christian, where an FCS school,
right,
where they hire, this isn't a D3 school where you might be able to get in the booth. This is, they're going to hire professionals. You're probably not going to be able to do that. So if you want to be announcing games, I would just say go for any sport. Start wherever you have to start just to start doing it. And then once that happens, maybe you can work your way up to football, or maybe you end up liking the sport, you end up calling just as much.
How did you end up working with the football team? Did you do that for journalism or just because you wanted to work with the football team?
I did that. I was like team manager. So like you film practice, you just kind of help out with everything. And that's a good way to do it too, because that gets you kind of in the door with the football program and you learn the ins and outs. And like, even if you don't necessarily become a broadcaster, working for the football team might help you work. That might lead to other football related jobs. Maybe you see this, the practices every day. You're like, ooh, being a scout would be fun. And it's something that sounds interesting to you. So yeah, getting a job with the football team would definitely be something.
Did you do anything with sports information? Did you go over there and talk to them?
I knew the sports information people.
Yeah. Cause sometimes students go over there and work too. Right.
Right. Yeah. So that's our,
I think the larger point, and like, this is one of, I guess it's like not a huge regret because I cover the NFL now, but like, I wish I had done that stuff at NC State. I did it at UNC Greensboro after I,
moved on.
But I mean,
a lot of people don't know the second half of that story. Like I was telling Prisco, I said, Prisco, you know, he talks about NC State stuff. He goes, what? He went to UNC Greensboro?
Yeah, I didn't graduate from State. That's why I always say I'm an alumni. I am an alumni.
Yeah.
Not a graduate. I'm an alumni.
I think you have to graduate.
They ask for money. I'm an alumni.
that's one way of putting it.
If they ask you for money, I'm an alumni. They say, dear alumni. Anyway, my point being is that I think to what Breach is saying is I agree completely. You should do not get locked into one specific pathway or one specific job or one specific end goal for what you want to be in life at that age, because one, a lot of stuff is going to change, like a ton of stuff, over the next,
5 years,
you really have no clue like what direction your career path.
We've told this story before, but when Brinson and I first started podcasting with Michael David Smith in 2007, we called into a phone line to do blog talk live. And that was, That was 14 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, remember we're talking about John Daly. Yeah. I mean, like you just, Breach said, if you go and work at the school newspaper at an FCS school, don't be upset if you're not the football writer right away. Be willing to do stuff that is not, I covered I think it was women's volleyball at UNCG before I got the men's basketball writing gig. Didn't have football there. So you have to be willing to do some stuff that you might not want to do in this particular profession, because it is usually fairly crowded in there. You have to be, and it's good. It's good. I think it's good training for later down the road when, you get into the professional realm and you're probably going to have to start by working at a job that maybe, isn't exactly what you wanted. Like, it's pretty rare to come out of college these days and just be like, nobody's graduating college and be like, well, I guess I'm calling Sunday Night Football now. You're going to have to, probably work at other sports, so to Breach's point, the working with the football team makes a lot of sense for getting inroads and making contacts for the future of working in that particular sport, versus maybe even being with the student newspaper where you're not going to make maybe as many inroads, right?
Yeah, I would actually think about SID too, the Sports Information Department, and just because what happens is you're going to meet people, and those people are going to end up having jobs where they can help you, and you can help them.
Yep.
Hey, Nada, are you around? What's your path? Because you actually covered a team for 3 years, as you noted, so I'm sure you actually probably were more focused than three
or nine. My path is very. I would say I'm very the completely unconventional, because I basically was a sous chef, like, for
what?
Yes.
Dang, that's way more impressive.
Than Otto's house desserts.
I know. Where were you a sous chef?
I was at Amelie's doing sous chefing. I was doing.
He was good.
Yeah, very good at. I'm very, very good at what I do. But I did that for a couple of years, and I did that for almost a decade, and then got tired of smelling like chicken grease after 8 hours, and went back to school, got my journalism degree, and then started interning at a TV station, turned that into producing a radio show, and then turning that into something else. So.
Somebody calling for a chicken order.
Exactly. So after a certain point, like, it became I'm the most unconventional path, but my advice is just do everything.
If they ask
you to do, just do it.
That's great advice. That's right. Don't say no to anything. And that I still do that to this day, much to my detriment at times, but just don't say no. I think that's incredibly
important. And don't get, I mean, like, I know you always see those arguments on Twitter. It's like, don't do anything for free. It's like, well, you know what I mean? Like, maybe.
Yeah. If you're 48 and you have to pay your mortgage, don't do it for free. If you're 18 and you got nothing else going on and you get experience out of it.
I mean, I got into it because I was writing on a fantasy football message board that Matthew Berry, who now is at ESPN, the talented Mr. Roto, for his website. And then they liked it. So they gave me a column, and I was writing like 2 or 3 columns of a week for like $25 a month. Like not even kidding. Like, that's how much I was getting. And so
that was literally 20 years.
I was like, I'm going to go into journal. I'm going to go like write about sports for a living. He's like, you're an idiot.
And the other thing,
fair statement. I'm not even, you know,
well, your dad saw where he would come from. He was probably happy that you had anything. And I was actually not that much different than you, which is probably hard.
I was working for him at his law firm, and he was like, you really should not quit your day job.
But the other thing that Barrett has going for him, and I think this applies certainly to me and Brinson. I don't know what Breach was up to in college, probably things that were illegal, but he may have been a hard worker. But the fact that Barrett's focused on something in high school in terms of what he wants to do in college is probably a step ahead of the rest of the folks. As Brinson mentioned, he wasn't doing anything at NC State in terms of, you know, focused on his future. I certainly wasn't doing anything in college, focused on my future. And those people that are doing that have that advantage. Like Breach, for example, he's working with he's a team manager. He's making up stories about running marathons and punt returns. But I mean, look where he got him.
Sure. None of it's true that Breach is, none of this advice that Breach is telling you is true, but
if it were, it'd be great advice. Yeah. All right. What's the second part?
I think like that, it really is like, that's important to, like, you want to have a focus on what you want to do and you want to, you know, work hard at it. The part about the, like, you know, starting a YouTube channel to like practice is a really smart idea. Like, I always tell,
what's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah, I mean, don't say any bad words, and don't, you know, like, just remember that, like, well, I mean, just remember that, like, that stuff is on the internet for anybody's consumption. So, like, just, you
know, right. Just keep, you know,
I'm sure there's stuff that I've written about, like, you know, at some point that I'm glad is washed off the internet.
No, don't use your YouTube show to say Ryan Wilson should be fired.
Yeah.
You can, but I mean, you know, that's like one of the few times you just stick to sports. You're trying to get better. You're not trying to.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is that, like, it's really hard to have a resume. It's really hard to showcase your resume in journalism because you're like, here, like, you know, it's like, here's why I went to school here and I majored in this. And it's like, okay, like, you know, that's really good. Like, you have good grades and you know, you went to this school, but it's like, you know, there's a billion people who went to like Syracuse. I didn't mean to say that. Syracuse. I don't know. I don't know what I was going with there.
It's Syracuse.
I was going to say Syracrat.
Sauerkraut?
What? Sauerkraut? Syracuse, whatever the Syracuse journalism school is very good. And then there's the Northwestern, right? I mean, like,
Missouri.
High level journalism schools.
That Ohio University.
Yeah.
That's for real. I didn't go there. It's my
Peter
rival.
King, yeah, I think Peter King went there. But like, all these like distinguished journalism schools, my point being is that when someone is reviewing a bunch of resumes, the one thing that you can have that can distinguish yourself is like a proof of concept, which is like an actual, like, reel. You know, you could say, hey, look, here's work I've done in front of the camera practicing on YouTube. Here's, you know, here's a website that I maintain where I put things that I write and store them. Because, like, we're talking, you know, you'd think that if you're writing on the internet, that it's going to be around forever. I can't find the John Daly story where I followed him in 2008 and he smoked a bunch of cigs and drank a bunch of Diet Coke because I would love to have it. Like, I wish it was still there. I can't find it because the internet, sometimes stuff doesn't live forever on the internet. So I think maintaining your own website, maintaining your own social media channels, remember that, you know, your tweets and your Instagrams and your Facebook posts are like going to be part of your resume as well. So keep that in the back of your mind when you're posting, especially in college. I think practicing through those YouTube channels, through the website, you know, maintaining a, like your own blog or whatever is a really good thing, because it's one, it's practice, and two, it can serve as, you know, additional, an additional resume builder when you're, you know, seeking a job after school.
All right. What's the second half of his question?
He says, why isn't Ryan Wilson fired yet? Just kidding.
Breach told you
number two. Don't have to answer this one if my review is too long. No, we'll always answer it. We don't care how long they are. Why doesn't the NFL have marching bands? A lot of people watch college football over the NFL because the atmosphere and the band plays a big role in that. I would agree with that. I always get pumped up watching the FSU band play the chop and the whole crowd joining in, even when they're losing 50-0. Jersey State. Should NFL owners hire professional bands like the DCI bands that have their competitions at Lucas Oil every year, or is the NFL better without them? Sorry for the long questions. Absolutely love listening to the show and a big supporter of Wilson's mock drafts. Oh, no.
Thank you, Barrett.
He doesn't want Wilson fired. A twist ending.
There it is.
I'm just stopping by to say, fire Ryan Wilson.
Ryan.
Interesting question on the marching bands. I don't know.
I think only.
Why doesn't the NFL have marching bands?
And the Commanders have one.
I was going to say, I thought they had one, and only the Commanders and the Cowboys. How many teams have cheerleaders?
The Ravens have one.
Oh, I think every team but the Steelers have cheerleaders. Is that right? Like, there's the cheerleaders things is not ubiquitous either. I don't know. I feel like they've lost a lot of the connection with the amateur, quote-unquote, football sort of tangential things that come along with the game, the band.
And it's a fitting question because Washington's marching band is coming back this year. I think they took a brief hiatus because there was no fans, COVID, and then not a ton of fans. So I don't think they're really around for 2020 and 2021. I feel like it is because NFL owners are cheap.
I was wondering, like the cost. Like, I mean, those cheerleaders make no money. If you've been following the sort of the Washington cheerleader story throughout the last few years,
but if you're gonna have a marching band, you have to expect them to practice together and perform the music, and they're not doing it on their own free time. So you're probably gonna have to pay them. Whereas if you're a college marching band, you just call up the music department and you're like, hey, you guys are training them. We just need you to show up at the game and play. You know, so the music department is all the time. They're practicing during class. And obviously during practice, they have their own practices, but they have a college has a place to get their marching band for free. They're not paying for it. So, and I don't think an NFL team, you know, if you have an 60 or 80 person marching band, you're paying all those people. And I feel like that is at least part of the reason. And then
I think that makes sense.
And then the NFL is just not designed for it. They have shorter half times. So you're not. The marching band would get through one song. You know, we see that the script at Ohio State, and you don't have time for that in an NFL game. You have I think halftime's 12 minutes in the NFL. It's 20 minutes in college. That's a huge difference when you're talking about getting an entire band on the field and trying to do songs.
It's also there's a lot of student, you may have sort of mentioned this, but a lot of students want to be, major in different aspects of music, and that naturally lends itself to being in the marching band.
Yeah,
I was looking at the PGA leaderboard. I really wasn't listening.
All right, we have 4 minutes. I have would you rather real quick. All right, here we go. Okay. You ready?
Hey, those are two great questions.
Yes, thank you, Barrett. Best of luck. Remember us when you're famous.
You can always email Wilson and ask him questions about life.
Yeah.
It's
RyanWilson@AOL.com. Here we go.
Ryan B. Bad at AOL.com.
Pete Prisco at AOL.com. Try that one. All right, here we go.
Pete Prisco.
That might actually work.
There we go. All right. Would you rather have brown teeth or a hairline just 1 inch above your eyebrows? So either brown teeth or your hairline's like here. Like sort of Shane Battier to the extreme.
How brown?
What'd you say?
How brown?
Oh, they're noticeably brown. Like from 50 yards away, you can see brown teeth.
So
when you say the hairline, do you mean like
where your hairline is up here? It's right here. It's where it starts. Yeah. Like Brinson thinks there's nothing wrong with having a hairline right here.
So you just like, wouldn't you just have like bangs? Like, can I grow my hair out?
No, because your hair, your hair follicles are here. Go down. Your hair follicles go down to your eyebrows.
Go
so
there's no bang. Go to where your hair plugs meets your forehead up here, and move that down to your eyebrow. That's where it goes. That's where that line starts. It starts here. You understand?
I mean, I know what you're saying, but it's like,
you don't think that's weird at all? Have you seen
hair just like falling all over your eyes? Like,
yeah, even like, if you cut your hair, your hairline starts here, like Shane Battier, but
you'd have no,
forehead.
I mean, people, I have a giant forehead, so
I can't believe you would just love to have like no, your forehead.
I think I would, I don't want brown teeth, so I'm going with the hair. Because like you could shave your head if you were not happy with the hair, like you're not going to rip all your teeth out. I guess you could.
But you could also do like a, you could pull your hair straight back and just be like.
But if you pull your hair straight back, it's
you look like a, total psychopath.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. You don't seem to get the.
Look at his tiny little forehead. Do another one. That one sucks.
All right, I'll do one more real quick. We got 2 minutes, Breach. All right.
It's not a, we're worried about. No, we don't care about.
Breach. Yeah, I know. Nada's got to go too.
Oh gosh. Oh, Nada's gone. Oh, okay. Let's go. Nada's got to go.
No, all right. We'll do one more. Go.
No, you don't care about Nada.
We have 2 minutes.
Trying to find a good one. Oh, no, that's terrible. all right, here we go. Wear a motorcycle helmet to bed every night or always sleep with shoes and jeans on. What a crazy question.
That's a good one.
motorcycle.
Wait. So you have to, so you're either sleeping in a motorcycle helmet or
every
shoes
night.
And jeans.
Our shoes and jeans. Shoes are the worst to sleep in. Like, it's,
yeah, you know. I'd have to do the helmet because if I get too hot, I can't sleep. But like, if you open the glass part of the helmet and you can breathe out, then that, you're good. But if you have shoes
you're
on,
you're gonna stay cool inside a motorcycle helmet while you're laying down.
Well, I mean, it's like try sleeping in the summer with socks on as a pain. You have jeans and shoes on. You're not sleeping.
Yeah,
you're not sleeping.
Well, I hate to break it to you. Let me ask you something. I mean, this doesn't really apply quite as much to us because we're all married and old people. But let's say hypothetically that
you should date a girl who slept in her jeans and shoes.
No. I'm saying like, let's say you're single and you have to like,
you better have chosen the motorcycle helmet. That's what it should have happened.
You think so?
The jeans aren't coming off. You have to sleep with the jeans on.
Okay, well, can the jeans come off and then go back on? You gotta get into bed with a motorcycle helmet on. You know it's harder.
You know how cool that looks.
Motorcycle helmet all the time.
How cool that looks. It does say when to bed every night. So wear a motorcycle helmet to bed every night. You wear it to bed, but you sleep with the shoes and jeans on. So it sounds like you can
like you have to.
You put the shoes and jeans on when you go to sleep. Not
so you could do whatever you wanted before you go to sleep. And
but
then
it says there's no sleep requirement for motorcycle helmet. It says just every night to bed. So once you get into bed, awake or not, you have a motorcycle helmet on. If I'm just reading the text.
So in other words, you with the motorcycle helmet, you say like, okay, I'm going to bed. Boop.
Right.
And then go to, well, if that's the case, I just have to wear a motorcycle helmet walking back to my bed, then I'm doing that.
But you still have to wear it when you sleep.
Oh, you have to wear, oh, you do have to wear it when you sleep.
Yeah. Anytime you're in the bed, you have to wear a motorcycle helmet. According to
I'm picking shoes and jeans.
Nah, that's crazy.
I'm not sleeping in a motorcycle helmet every night.
I think Breach is right. Like, sleeping with shoes on is the worst thing ever. I'd rather sleep with a motorcycle helmet on.
The worst.
Can they be slippers?
No, it says shoes and jeans. It has to be skinny jeans. Slippers.
Do they have to be, like, hiking boots? I mean,
shoes. So whatever.
Can the jeans have tears in them so that my legs can breathe?
No. They're, like...
I'm taking the shoes and jeans. Maybe I'm crazy. I'm not sleeping in a motorcycle helmet every night. I'm not getting any sleep.
It won't mess up your hair plugs.
I'm not worried about my hair. I'm worried about sleeping because my head's inside a motorcycle helmet.
By day two, you'll opt for the motorcycle helmet. All right, let's go. Nada's got things to do.
Tweet us and let us know. Motorcycle helmet or shoes and jeans. All right, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. For Wilson, for Breach, I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.